Hundreds of people go missing in our national parks each year, not to mention the ones who go missing on their own property. The woods can be a peaceful and beautiful place, but it can also be dark and foreboding. We're accustomed to the idea of violence in our cities, but somehow it seems more disturbing while out in the forest. Is it because we're alone? Because we're too far away for anyone to hear our screams? Too far away for rescue services to arrive quickly? Or because there is someone, or something, in the woods with us that isn't supposed to be there? Join me tonight for another terrifying episode of
The Nightmare Society.
Tonight's episode features some graphic violence, so this is your warning. Back in 2011, I was with a circle of friends that made it a tradition to go camping at a certain spot every May. Long weekend. The spot we chose was in a beautiful area right on the edge of a large lake, and was located on government land. The lake itself had a dam on it, so during May, the water levels were always low, if not completely empty, making it possible to walk across it. People were allowed to camp there as long as they weren't causing trouble or making a mess, and it was generally a good time for everyone. The spots themselves were paced far enough apart that you had your own privacy, but not far enough that you couldn't meet other people. In this particular year, our spot was in the middle of a small hill, with one campsite below us and one above us. The first night, our trip happened without incident. During the second day, the people staying at the site below us had moved in. We didn't think much of it and continued drinking throughout the day and into the night. At around midnight, the people at the campsite below us were really out of control. They were yelling and screaming, and their music had gotten even louder, so our friend Ben went down to ask them to turn it down. He was promptly punched in the face, and he came back to inform us that he was 90% sure they were on drugs. After that, the vibe wasn't as relaxed, as we were all somewhat on edge. I was feeling really tired, so I just decided to go to bed. Some of my friends were still awake, including Ben and one couple, Lily and Derek, that were visiting another campsite we had made friends with that day. I could hear that the campsite below us was still blasting their music and partying pretty hard, but I just tried to ignore it and go to sleep. I don't know what time it was when I was jolted awake. Parts of this are somewhat of a blur. All I know is that I sat straight up as soon as I heard the screaming and yelling coming from outside my tent. I quickly ran outside to find our campsite in chaos. One of my friends was clutching their chest. People were running around and screaming to call 911. I was quickly informed of what happened. Apparently, not long after I had gone to bed, the people camping at the site below us decided they weren't finished talking to Ben. And on their way up, they had encountered Lily and Derek walking back. Now, Derek and Ben are about the same height and have the same color hair, so they assumed that Derek was Ben and bottled both him and Lily over the head with a full glass bottle. I don't know if it was the same guys that showed up at our campsite, but I was told that everyone was sitting around the fire when two or three guys appeared from the darkness and walked over to them. One had a paring knife and the other had a butcher knife in their hands. Ben saw the knives and had gotten up to talk to them and had barely spoken a word when the guy with the paring knife stabbed him once in the chest. At the same time, some people from the campsite above had seen the guys coming and came down to help. One of the guys, Tim, was coming down the hill when the guy with the butcher knife ran up to him and stabbed him in the stomach. From there, sheer panic ensued. People called 911, but the ambulance was over half an hour away. This is where I came out of the tent. Tim's wound was bleeding profusely and he was losing blood way too quickly. His friends ended up putting him in the back of his car and speeding off to meet the ambulance halfway. Ben was also bleeding, but his wound wasn't as deep as Tim's and we were able to keep him calm until an ambulance arrived. The guys with the knives ran off into the darkness back down to their campsite and took off in their Land Rover. My boyfriend at the time and I had gotten into his car and drove to the entrance to try and flag down the policemen on their way to the scene. Once they arrived, we were informed to stay in the car as they had released a canine search unit to hunt down the people who stabbed our friends. By the end of the night, they had arrested the men. They had tried to flee by driving their vehicle across the lake bed where they got stuck in a muddy section of the lake. They were on a concoction of several drugs, as suspected. Luckily, both Tim and Ben survived, although Tim had lost a lot of blood and took a few weeks to recover from his wounds. Derek and Lily had huge goose eggs, and possibly one person had a concussion, but I can't recall. It was definitely the scariest thing I have ever experienced, and a few of us had to testify against them in court. I've attached an online article about it if you're interested in reading it. My husband and I went camping for the first time ever in Arizona as a part of our long trip out west. I had picked out this really cool place that was on a mountain overlooking a beautiful landscape. It's next to a cliff and in a really isolated location. I'm talking like 20 miles out on gravel roads in the middle of a national forest. So we get there and set up our tent and hike a little bit and take some pictures of the surrounding area. We see a few cars parked around two tents and decide to stop and talk to the other campers nearby because we had heard that there was going to be a bad storm that night. These were four guys who were from Arizona and they told us not to worry and that the storm didn't get that terrible around this area. That was all the persuading that we needed to stay. Later on, while walking a bit further down the campsite, we see a woman there with her dog and another older lady. We smile and wave and continue to hike down a bit further into the forest. Let me elaborate that because of the storm, we are one among maybe a total of seven campers that decided to stay and withstand the night. We watch the sunset when we get back to our site, make sure our car was only a few yards away, and go into our tent when it gets too dark to see. There are no stars tonight due to the storm clouds and it hasn't begun to rain yet, so we decide to try to sleep right away so that we could possibly sleep through the storm when it does hit. It is an insanely windy night, so it's hard to sleep, but eventually we get a bit of shut-eye. I wake up at 10:30 p.m. to the sound of some crazy thunder rolling through the mountains and the rain hitting down on our tent. I'm a little freaked out because they get a lot of flash floods out there and I didn't want to fall off the side of the cliff. But I tell myself to try to sleep and eventually I doze off again. It's 12 a.m. and I'm awake again. This time because I hear something heavy hitting the side of our tent. Like full on sounded like someone could have been punching our tent and sliding something down the side of it. I open my eyes and can't see anything. It's completely dark. No light whatsoever. The sound continues every couple of minutes and at this point I am shitting bricks. Suddenly I hear footsteps right next to my side of the tent. They're slow but steady. I feel my entire body freeze up. I seriously start thinking about how this is it and I am going to die. My heart is beating so fast that I'm certain whatever is out there can hear it. Then whatever it is lets out a deep sigh right on the opposite side of the tent. I'm thinking it's a bear and realizing that I might actually have to face this thing. In a desperate call for my husband's mind-reading powers, I squeeze his hand really hard repetitively and he wakes up. But instead of reading my mind, he blurts out,
"What's wrong? Why are you squeezing my hand?"
Right as he says this, the footsteps stop. I don't hear the footsteps again, so After a while, I break out of my frozen state and tell him what I heard. We decided it might have been an animal passing by. But whatever is hitting our tent continues every so often, and I'm starting to go a little insane from this night, wondering what is going on. We convince ourselves that it's just pines falling from the trees above us and try to sleep again. We just need to make it through one more night, and then we can laugh about all of this in the morning. A couple of minutes go by, and suddenly the tent caves in on my husband's right side, right on his head. He whispers that it feels like something is pushing the tent down. I feel my heart instantly sink. I'm freaking out, thinking it's a bear that just sat on his head, but he decides to push back, and we hear the familiar noise of something sliding off of our tent that we've been hearing for the past few hours. We then realize that it's been snowing outside and that the noise we heard hitting our tent was heavy ice falling from the trees onto our tent. Our tent is covered in thick ice, and my husband pushes the tent from the inside until all the ice slides off. Still determined to make it through the night and a little relieved that it was just ice and not a bear, we try to sleep and make it to sunrise. We keep on a small light that my husband luckily brought with him just to calm us down a little. Things are starting to seem normal again. We both close our eyes, and it's 3 a.m. at this point. Not even 30 minutes after we're settling down, my literal worst nightmare happens. Out of the pitch black night, we hear a woman screaming. We distinctly hear her say,
"What the fuck? Oh my God, what the fuck?"
Followed by some other non-tangible words that sound something like, "Help." The way that she screams doesn't sound like anger. It sounds like pure terror and a sense of panic. My husband and I are both frozen looking at each other. I quickly shut off our light and start panicking and asking what we should do because what the fuck? How is this really happening right now? While we are trying to decide what to do for the next few minutes, we hear her again, but this time she is screaming,
"No! No! 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 No!"
as we hear a car speed off into the night. I'm in tears at this point. We have no idea what is happening. It's dead silent now, save for the icy rain hitting our tent. It definitely sounded like she wasn't in the car, but more like she was desperately yelling after it or begging not to be hurt. And this was the breaking point. Because I could take the bad weather. I could take the possibility of a bear outside my tent. I could even take the ice falling on our heads in one of the warmest states in America. But one thing I cannot and will not ever be able to handle is a screaming person in the middle of the pitch black woods at 3 a.m. We decide to get the fuck out of there and even contemplate leaving our tent and booking it to our car. But instead we try to stay level-headed and grab our valuables and put them in the car first. We frantically gather our things and stay close as we shuffle to our car. I close the door and keep the lights off for a while, scared to attract any unwelcome visitors. And while my husband goes back to grab the tent, I start the car and call 911. I tell them what I heard and where we are, and they say that they are sending someone to the campsite to make sure everything is okay. Only thing is, we are literally in the middle of nowhere, and it will definitely take them more than an hour to arrive. Not to mention the storm left those gravel roads in some pretty terrible conditions. So my husband and I decide to start driving, and it's like 3:30 a.m. now. As we drive out of the campsite, my husband notices one last eerie detail that stuck with me. The four guys that we had talked to earlier had left. All three of their cars were gone, while their tents remained. Whatever scared them off, they sure left in a hurry. It was only after we started driving that the thought occurred to me. Whatever was walking next to my tent may not have been an animal. It very well could have been someone lurking around in the dark who decided to go after the girl we had seen previously on our hike. I'm not sure what went down on that lone mountain that night, and I hope that everyone got out okay. So, whatever was at our campsite that night terrorizing us all, let's not ever meet again. This is my first time posting, and this hiking story happened years before I was aware of missing 411 or any strange occurrences happening in the wilderness. I was hiking alone on a semi-popular trail in the Chuckanut Mountain Range in Washington State. Noting the Chuckanuts do have cougars, black bears, coyotes, etc., although I'm not sure that's too relevant to my story. I remember not seeing anyone for the entire hike, which was unusual for the area, but I didn't think too much of it. After reaching the viewpoint of this hike, an uneventful ascent, I turned around and was making my way down sometime in the late afternoon, maybe 2 or 3 p.m. About a quarter of the way down, I got that common silence falls over the forest, with even the light breeze seeming to stop. I turned around and noticed a fern on the ground was moving. I moved closer to see what the cause was, and there was nothing there, and that scared the shit out of me. This fern was standalone, like not in a thick patch of ferns like you commonly see them, not on a hillside, and I could see all around the fern, including the ground. I was thinking small animal, squirrel or something. But I don't know how to emphasize enough that there was nothing there that could have been hidden or that I couldn't see. It was slightly off the trail, like 3 feet, so I could circle it and did exactly that. I don't know why I was so drawn to this in the first place, but it was just weird. After about 30 seconds of investigation, things get really fucking freaky. I start hearing a voice. Not in English, but speaking in an Eastern European language, from what I assume. I couldn't understand it, and I couldn't tell where it was coming from. I got the chills and the other common feeling of someone or something watching me. The voice lasted for about 10 seconds, also like that feeling it was coming from all around. At this point, I drew out my pistol because fuck that. I'm slowly backing away from the fern. The voice has stopped, but the forest is still dead. Now, I don't know if this was my instinct, a voice I actually heard, or an auditory hallucination from being so freaked out, but something said, "Run," like a whisper. So I followed this advice. I holstered my pistol and took off down the trail. I didn't see anyone else the entire time I'm sprinting down. I don't know what happened, and I haven't had any other occurrences out in the woods. I was theorizing after reading the 411 series. Someone maybe luring people in? I don't know if this is connected or some other rational explanation, but wanted to post it here for your thoughts. Also, the Chuckanut Mountain Range isn't quote-unquote deep woods. And I have friends who've told me of homeless people camping out there. I bring this up because a buddy of mine was essentially stalked by a man in a trench coat while running on a different loop. I know Paulides doesn't allude to serial killers, and I don't believe it's that either. I know he's starting to venture into some more urban areas in this blend of heavy forests between two reasonably populated areas, Bellingham and Burlington. Just throws a monkey wrench into my ideas of what could have caused this, and obviously the 411s. As always, some truly disturbing encounters. I don't know about you, but those stories are going to be cycling through my mind on my next camping trip, if there ever is one. For those interested, Missing 411 is a book series and a documentary following the strange disappearances happening in our national forests. The jurisdiction to cover these disappearances is in a gray area, which leads to issues and actually figuring out what is happening. There are also some very strange circumstances surrounding them. I recently ordered the Missing 411 book series and will be hopefully covering some cases from them. If this interests you or there's any other subjects that you would like me to cover, please comment below and let me know what type of stories you'd like to hear. Also, please do contact me at the email listed if you have stories you'd like to share of your own. We're always looking for new ones. A huge thanks to our contributors for helping make this episode happen. And thank you for listening. Until next time, Stay safe.